Looks like goddamn Mario Kart. Checkered everything.
There's something on that car.
The hang.
Daddy's home.
What the shit? Race control.
Right. One more car and I'm taking it out of your ass.
I'ma take this track and make it my bitch.
Did you know that races are won and lost in the pits?
I did not know that.
Did you not?
The IMS is the best there ever was.
Daddy doesn't do road cars.
Daddy only does ovals.
We certainly don't take ourselves that seriously, so you shouldn't.
Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
Toronto. That race just finished. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Great race.
Great race. We're going to get all into that, but maybe let's kick it off with some news.
Let's kind of run down the news that we know. And
warm up the tires, a little install lap.
Little install lap. So we're going to talk about news, and then we're going to shoot right into the Toronto race.
We sure are. So Connor Daly driving for Harding Racing this weekend.
Hey!
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, Connor.
Didn't finish as high as I wanted him to, but had a very solid race.
It was a good race.
Yeah. I mean, and still, he had a solid finish. It was not a bad finish.
No, and he qualified 11th. He
qualified 11th, finished 13th.
I'm not unhappy about it. So, yeah, he's driving for Harding this race. So, Harding's doing something very special.
They are.
It's a special episode of Harding Racing.
They want to add a second car, and so basically they're doing live auditions for the rest of the season. Gabby's under contract for the rest of the season and for 2019, so his seat is not in jeopardy.
Right, like, Gabby's fine, everybody.
Yeah, so we all love Gabby. We know that.
He's cool.
We're not done with Go Gabby Go. We're just done with Gabby for 2018.
Cannonball is taking
is going to take some time off to work on his drone flying.
Yeah, it's fine. He's got other shit, and he was there this weekend. He was on the radio with Connor. Like,
yeah.
He's fine. And it's an interesting setup, actually.
It's a very interesting strategy, but honestly, I like it better.
I do, too.
Because you can look at all, you know, their history and how they've done previously and all these different stats and all that, but at the end of the day, there's plenty of people that, on paper, can appear to be good drivers, but actually in a car, are not really that great.
I mean, it's an audition. I like the idea of an audition.
I love it, and I love doing it at an actual race and not just, let me send you out on a test where you're out there by yourself, because that shows me nothing.
Yeah, like, you can run great...
That shows me how you can qualify, but that doesn't show me how you're going to do in a race.
Right, and really, it's the race performance that's most important.
It is.
A little burpy, I'm sorry.
The rosé is getting you.
I know, damn. Or the cider.
One of the two. Yeah, the cider had some carbonation, so...
Yeah, cider had a bite back on it.
So, but yeah, I enjoy it. I'm curious to see who else they're going to do this with. I mean, in my mind, when they said they were doing Connor, I was like, I'll tell you what I'd fucking love to see, is that Connor is the only person they're auditioning, and that he's just in the car the rest of the season.
Oh my god, that'd be perfect.
Ugh.
I believe they're looking at some lights drivers.
That makes sense.
Because a few of them, when they were talking to during the practice sessions, they kind of hinted at, you know, Harding might be having them jump in, but it also would depend on when lights is racing and when lights isn't racing, because I don't think that'd be a fair audition to be like, all right, run a lights race. All right, jump in our race. All right, run a lights race again.
No, not, I mean, that's way too much. Now, I know there have been many drivers that their first year in IndyCar have still run the Freedom 100 for Indy Lights, and then have run the Indy 500.
Right.
But that's a Friday race and a Sunday race. It's not multiple races within 2 days.
Right. Or the same day. Like today, they had lights races and then IndyCar race. So it'll be interesting.
It'll be very interesting.
I like it. I think it's a very unique way to go about figuring out who to fill that slot with.
I do too. And you know, Harding is kind of breaking the mold on how they're running a race team. So I really enjoy that because Mike Harding has a very successful construction business here in Indianapolis.
I mean, he's running it like a businessman.
He is 100% running it like a businessman. And the thing is, he's got the money to support this team, so he's not concerned with kissing sponsors' asses.
No.
In fact, I think Mark Harding would be the most likely person to tell you to get fucked.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need your money.
He doesn't. He's like, it's fine. I have my own. This is how we're going to figure out who's going to fill that second car. Now, maybe the second car would require some additional...
Sponsorship,
but
I still think it's going to be an easier money get than any other team.
No, 100. Like, these are the drivers who don't have, if I were looking, it'd be a good driver who might not have the money for a full program, but who has 50 to 60% of that money.
Yes.
And I think that's what Connor is.
I completely agree.
So I'm very excited.
Well, and you know, the cost going from one car to two cars is really not that big of a difference going from not having any Indy cars to then a new team in IndyCar.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. But one to two cars, I mean, yes, it's a lot of money, but when you look at overall how much it is, it's marginal.
the like graph on that would be like, oh, okay, yeah, I see it.
It's like when you, you know, when you have a dog and you're like, okay, I have this much money that I'm spending on dog food. I'm going to need a second dog. It's really not that much more money.
No.
You already have the toys. You already have your lifestyle set up for a dog. Getting a second dog is not as big of a deal as getting a first dog.
I really appreciate that we just use the dog as an analogy for an idiot.
Well, that's the first thing that came to mind.
No, it works, though.
Well,
it works.
When I had Charlie, when I had a second dog, it was, like, no additional money because I had a 90-pound German Shepherd Hound mix, and then my second dog was a Chihuahua Rat Terrier mix. So I literally noticed no difference in food intake because he was... Yeah. 90 pounds versus 90. I'm like, so he's going to eat, what, three pebbles a day?
Three kibbs?
I think that's fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Three bits, no kibbles.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited to see, like, who they're going to have at Mid-Ohio and...
Very excited.
All of this stuff. So
I'll
we will
tell
see.
You who else I'm excited to see at Mid-Ohio. Jack Harvey.
Oh, he's coming. And he's testing on Tuesday.
He is. And I love Jack Harvey.
He did such a great job on IndyCar Radio this weekend because he was kind of in the booth for the practice sessions.
He did.
And he was just up there kind of and some fun little asides. I like it when they have like these semi-active drivers there. And I know that they've had Connor there for a while too.
Well, he was actually, supposed to be on this weekend and then he found out he was going to drive.
You know, he had a better gig and I don't think anybody's upset at that one.
No, in fact, IndyCar Radio even mentioned it earlier during practice today and they were like, no hard feelings. We get it.
But I think that's great because it adds that very unique perspective that like everybody can talk about it. Even past drivers can discuss it. But if you're active, you're bringing in a whole sort of deck into it.
Absolutely. And
I did not mean to use that word.
I know that's a little inside joke.
My bad.
But I think that can be shown with, you know, the quote unquote private conversation that we happened over here between Townsend Bell and Simon Pagenaud on Media Day. And Townsend Bell was an active driver for many years and was a fairly successful driver and he's a super nice guy, by the way. I want to throw that out there. Just super nice.
Oh my God, I love him.
And you know, it was nearing the end of that session. And so he just, you know, popped over to Simon Pagenaud and he wasn't asking any official questions. He was just asking driver to driver. So how does this handle? So how is it with this? How's the air with
this?
What about when you do this? What about when you do this? And it's because he's not actively in a car and he wants to understand the ins and outs because it is different. I mean, it's different year to year. If you're not in a car that year, a lot of shit changes.
Yeah.
So I think, having a semi-active driver in the booth is always a good thing.
Oh, 100%.
And I'll just go ahead and say it again. I'm tired of Paul Tracy in the booth.
Yeah.
If you don't like my opinion on that, you can find me in Mid-Ohio and say it to my face.
I mean, I'll be right there with you. I mean, I wrote something about it. Paul Tracy put out this, like, we need more bad guys in a car race and we don't need vanilla drivers. False.
False. Because the thing is, I don't care about your bullshit storylines. And also, a couple things.
Yeah.
Which, Wickens pointed out, you know, sponsors will drop you in a heartbeat.
100%.
If you don't have the image that they want projected with their, with whatever their good is that they produce or sell or make, whatever, they will drop you in a heartbeat. They don't need you.
No.
Okay? You need them more than they need you. So that's issue number one. Issue number two, Big Tobacco's not in it anymore.
Yeah.
You got tobacco or alcohol sponsoring you. You pretty much have carte blanche to do whatever the hell you want because tobacco and alcohol are not really concerned with you being a quote unquote good guy.
Yeah, no.
We're a little rowdier crowd. Those of us who are supporting Big Alcohol and Big Tobacco, we're a rowdier crowd.
As we sip our box wine.
Yes. Next to my Marlboro Lights. JK, no free ads. But
hit us up, Marlboro.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'll take a sponsorship. So there's issues with that. But also, I feel like if you get too far into the good guy, bad guy, then you end up with manufactured storylines and
exactly
shit that's
it.
Not actually like making a bigger deal out of things than it actually is. That's just stupid. I don't want to see fake rivalries.
I think that's the biggest problem that will come from what people want. Oh, Rossi's the bad guy. Wickens is the good guy. They should fight each other. You know what? They were spending, like, the 4th of July, they were at a pool party together. I found this out from Instagram. I'm not stalking them.
Sure.
But, like, to pit them against each other in this huge, like, good versus evil clash, it's forced.
It is forced. And you end
they're
up
with... They're
fierce
competitors. I will say they're fierce competitors, and that's something you can play up.
Absolutely. And they are very fierce competitors. But when you look at, okay, sports that have huge rivalries, I'm going to go straight into it. Professional wrestling. And I'm going to go into it because a friend of a friend is the son of a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that all of those guys had these huge manufactured rivalries. Mm-hmm. And that they'd go out there and it was this. But the night before, they're all hanging out, partying at the same house, and they're literally choreographing their fight. Okay, so you do this, and I'm going to hit you with a chair. Okay, then I'm going to come back and do this. And afterwards, they all would go out and party together. It was completely manufactured. You can look at all of these wrestlers and say, like, oh, you know, Hulk Hogan and this person, or, oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin and this person, blah, blah. Guess what? They were all at each other's weddings, okay?
Yeah, like,
there's no rivalry there. It was 100% manufactured, and I don't want fake shit in my life.
And I think everybody kind of found that out about wrestling, too, and that's why there's this whole, like, well, it's all fake.
Yeah, which it was.
Which
but,
it is.
But, I mean, well, I mean, it was, I mean, they did really get hit. It just...
Yeah, but it was all, like, everybody knew what was happening.
It was mostly choreographed. And I'm not saying, you know, and it was still hard, and they still did get the shit kicked out of themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want to discount that. It was still very hard on their bodies, and they were... They are definitely serious athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, because to do something well takes a lot of skill. To fake that you're doing something and have it look like you're not faking it takes a lot of skill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's like they're all friends. It was, yeah. And so people really started to not be that attracted to wrestling because it was fake. And I think that you're going to end up with that if you try to manufacture shit that's not real.
I mean, there's other storylines. If any car wants to pump up storylines to get people involved, there are other real storylines out there. Don't make stuff up.
Agreed.
There's enough out there.
Completely agreed.
So, anyway.
Also, I will say, I don't know if you saw this, and I should have looked this up to see exactly who did it, but there's a flag that got released for this weekend that they were selling at Toronto, and it's the checkered flag, but instead of the white... Uh-huh. Every flag, it was rainbow colored. And so it's a racing flag to promote inclusivity with LGBTQ.
I saw that. Plus. I think DeHardy had something about that.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really
DeHardy
cool.
Yeah, DeHardy did have something about that, which is very cool. And he said it, and I will echo this, that it did not happen as soon as it should have.
Yeah.
But I love the inclusivity because we can't afford to lose fans. We can't afford to be putting people off from IndyCar. And so
100% agree.
You know what? If you don't agree with their lifestyle, that's fine. It doesn't affect you one way or the other. Just don't be a dick to people.
You know what? At the end of the day, and this, you know, I don't think we hide that we grew up Judeo-Christian and that we are Judeo-Christian. I think the big thing is just love one another.
Yeah. Like,
let's just love everybody.
Let's just not be dicks.
Like, don't be dicks.
Let's focus on our common things, which is that
we all love racing.
We love racing. I want to see cars go fast.
I just like it when they go fast.
Yeah.
I want to go fast.
and that's really where my issue with Paul Tracy comes in, is that I think that he turns a lot of people off from IndyCar. And so I think that we as a sport should hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he was a decent racer. I was not a Paul Tracy fan back in the day.
I was a Paul Tracy fan.
But he was a decent racer, and I think that he's got some good insights. But when you look at his personal Twitter and his personal Instagram, he's had many questionable posts. And the thing is...
So here's the deal. I'll speak on that, because being part of state government, being part of, at one point, sort of an elected official's... I wasn't straight communications, but my job interacted with it, like... What you do reflects where you work. As much as we don't want it to happen...
It does.
Everything I tweet, because people know where I work, reflects where I work. And everybody's like, he should be allowed to say whatever he wants. Sure.
Yeah, if he wasn't famous.
But there's still ramifications. Like, I'm sure his contract with NBC Sports has a morality clause.
I'm sure it does. Well, and here's the thing, when you talk about, you know, that it reflects where you work, this is not new to the social media age.
Yeah.
It's just that it's way more... It's much easier to find things out.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't go into a job interview and then, I don't know, make a super racist crack about how you're going to celebrate Martin Luther King Day and expect to keep your job.
Yeah. You wouldn't...
You wouldn't say that to somebody's face.
You wouldn't be...
And had you, you shouldn't be shocked when you don't get the job or when you lose your job.
Yeah, no, it that's the whole thing. And don't at me because... Well, I'm an attorney, and I've studied First Amendment law, and it's not the First Amendment, and we're not going to get into it on that. But
yeah, no, you're allowed to say whatever you want, just like your employers are allowed to fire you for saying what you said.
So anyway, I won't go on my diatribe about that.
No, but I'm 100% with you, and in fact, if you're sleeping, I will happily handle any First Amendment posts. I wish you would.
So anyway, moving on to additional, we went, woo!
We sure did.
So there's more team talk, aside from McLaren, the Dragon Speed, and they do a lot of like the prototype racing. They're looking at coming into IndyCar.
I love that. More teams, man.
More teams, more drivers.
We need another engine manufacturer.
We need another engine manufacturer at this point.
Because Honda's maxed out.
Yeah, Chevy's almost maxed out, too.
Yeah.
So, more teams. Speaking of more teams, there's another driver rumor. So, Ace Braun, and he does sports cars, so another guy from sports cars coming on
nice.
Over. Looking at it. So, we'll see where he lands out.
Excellent.
But, you know, Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan's talking about going to a third car. So, it's exciting.
Now, is that just a third car for Takuma to use after he wrecks his primary? Or are they looking at a third driver?
Fucking Sato.
Fucking Sato.
That's an actual quote. Sorry, Ma.
Yeah, that was a driver quote
today.
That was
a driver quote today, Ma.
Fucking Sato.
So, more drivers and possibly more tracks.
Yes. So, the announcement's going to be on Tuesday, which, when you hear this, will be yesterday.
Yeah.
But Laguna Seca is announcing a big
thing.
A big thing on Tuesday involving IndyCar. So hopefully they get that contract wrapped up.
I mean, money is they're going to be announcing there's going to be a race there.
Yes, for 2019.
Yeah, for 2019. It's interesting because Sonoma has said if Laguna has a race, we won't have a race at Sonoma. So now they're piss fighting.
And nobody cared anywhere.
Nobody cares, Sonoma.
Nobody cares. Your racetrack sucks. It's the worst race to end the season on, except for maybe Belle Isle.
The problem is that they have it like at the end of the year where everything is burnt and dead.
And it looks like the desert.
Right. Like there was, I think Ed Carpenter Racing posted last year like a picture from when they tested and everything was pretty and green. And then like a picture from when they were racing and everything was brown and dead.
Yeah.
So again.
Yeah, but no, that track should not be double points. It should not be the season closer, and I will not care at all, except that we would like to go to Sonoma just so that we can tack on, you know,
I mean, just for
the drunk bus for hitting wineries.
For wineries, yeah. That was my favorite part of driving. So I drove from Seattle down to San Francisco, and you hit Sonoma and that whole area. Like, I drove through one small town, and, like, their town flag was out, and, like, one of the icons on the town flag was literally a glass of wine, and I was like, my people!
Right? These are my people.
I'm gonna spend a day here.
I'm home.
JK, I really had to book it to get to San Francisco by that evening. But I thought about it.
Yeah. Ain't mad at you.
There's a moment.
Ain't mad at you. But yeah, and I love when tracks are like, if they come on, then we're not gonna be on.
Stop.
First off, stop. Because guess who's not cared about... Guess who doesn't care about your opinion on this, Sonoma?
Mark Miles. Didn't even plan that. Didn't even plan it.
Oh, and you know why? Because Mark Miles only cares about his own opinion.
I'm not mad at that, Mark.
I'm not mad at that either. He's a decisive man.
Hey, if I had that job, I'd have been like, that's cute. Here's what I think about it.
Right?
Okay, thank you. I've taken your opinion under consideration and it's bullshit.
Race control is determined. It's bullshit.
It's bullshit. Fly the bullshit flag.
So my cousin Erin, who is at our house this week, because she's helping with voice camp at Butler University, her bachelor's degree alma mater, her dad was a college professor and actually had a stamp that was red ink that said bullshit. And when he would be grading papers, like, you would get a grade, but if he really didn't like it, you would not get a grade. You would just get a bullshit stamp right on the front and get it handed back.
I've got the button that I hit and it says bullshit.
But the stamp...
No, the stamp is 100%
better. Like, for grading
better.
Shit?
Oh, yeah.
That's perfection.
I mean, the button will come with us for the live show.
Oh, 100%.
Before we jump into that, speaking of other trucks, Detroit, apparently, the race organization put in their, like, plan. And I will say the plan was, like, we'll cut down on however long it takes to put up and tear down, which is good.
Well, I would fucking hope so.
Like, that's a positive step, but basically Detroit was like, this is the only option we have is Belle Isle, and if it's not Belle Isle, we don't have a race.
And everybody in Belle Isle said bye.
Yeah. Here's what I say to that. Piss poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. If you don't have a plan B, I feel like that's your fault.
It is your fault.
Okay. You don't have a plan B? Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Well, and also, okay, so the incident during the SCCA race with that firefighter, that was in 2015. So that's 3 years ago. There has been protesting for longer than that, and it has really ramped up in 2017 and 2018.
Yeah.
So if nobody, if you guys just lived with your head in a hole in the ground and didn't realize any of that was going on, and so you didn't think maybe Belle Isle's not going to work out because people seem to really not like it here, that's your own fault.
That's your own fault. Sorry.
That's your own fault.
That's
listen to the people around. Because if the local people aren't coming, that's a huge part of people that come to races is local fans.
Yeah.
And so if the local people are pissed, you're not going to hit your numbers.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not making a call because as we found out from other people this year, you just don't start making definitive statements because shit changes.
Changes a lot.
So here's what we know. And we'll see what happens by the time we record next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of next week.
So, next Sunday, there is not an IndyCar race. It is the hashtag IndyCar summer vacation.
Nope. It's not the summer vacation.
It's not.
No, it's the 1 week off before Mid-Ohio.
We have hit 1,000 Twitter followers. And as promised, we are going to do a Q&A, a live show next Sunday. There's no race. And so we're going to do a live show. So send in your questions. We've gotten some awesome questions. A couple fuck, marry, kill.
Yep.
We've gotten some anonymous ones, and we will keep the senders anonymous. But yeah, the questions are good. One of them was if you could start a GoFundMe for any driver, who would it be?
It's a good one.
It's a good one. We've gotten some pretty funny questions. We've gotten some serious questions. So, but you can hit us up on our Twitter, which is @FastCars317. You can hit us up on our Facebook. Which is facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls. We've even got an Instagram @fastcarsfastgirls. And if you have no social media, like one of my nephews, then you can just go to our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. And there's a contact us button under the menu.
Yep.
And one of them says, I have a question for the show. And then you can write in your question.
And we have gotten some that way, so it works. And this is what I've told my family members. It doesn't have to be race related. Like, you don't have to ask us an IndyCar-related question. It's fine. We'll answer anything.
Totally. One of the questions that I added, because I find it hilarious, which is, what's the most on-brand thing you did as a child?
I thought you were going to say the one that my mom asked us, what's your favorite vegetable dish? I'm sorry.
Well, that's true. She
we're
did ask, what's our...
We're recording outside.
Yeah. I live by the airport. give it a minute. Damn it, FedEx.
Ah!
But yeah, she asked, what's our favorite vegetable dish to bring to a pitch-in?
Which is also on brand for us.
It is on brand for us. So it can be anything. It can be anything about our personal lives. I mean,
okay, here we go.
Yeah, like, let's get wild.
Let's get personal. Let's talk.
Talk amongst yourselves. So it'll be a great time. Send in questions. It'll be as much fun as you let us have with it. So
next Sunday, we're going to do it via Facebook Live, because that's the easiest thing we know how to do.
It is. We will also post that video to YouTube and things
afterwards.
Yeah,
we'll be able to, like...
But it won't be one of those where we're live and you ask questions and we respond right away, because we're taking the questions ahead of time.
I mean, unless they're on Facebook Live.
I mean, yeah, if you're on Facebook Live, like, we can probably do that.
We might not. I don't know.
It'll depend on how tech savvy we are and how the internet is working for us that day.
And how drunk we get.
Fact.
Because...
That's another thing.
I'm gonna need some alcohol to answer these questions.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Especially if they start getting personal.
Yeah. So, but yeah, have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Because we will.
If you have questions, best to send it in.
Definitely.
Okay, it's time.
Okay, so Toronto race, practice and qualification notes. You watched practice. I only watched the last practice.
The warm-up.
Or the warm-up today.
I mean, it's a practice, but it's almost a warm-up. It's like, let's make sure everything's working still. Yeah, so practice one, top five was Dixon, Rahal, Rossi, Sato, Andretti, which is funny because RHR hit the wall, Rossi also kind of kissed the wall, but they still managed to get top five.
Mm-hmm.
ZCD had a runoff area, and Jordan King caused a red flag because, well, he ran out of fuel.
Of course he did.
I remember staring at my phone going, why is there a red flag? Why is Jordan King? And they're like, oh, he ran out of fuel. And I thought to myself,
at a practice?
But why?
Yeah.
Are we shouldn't be in this stage of the year. We shouldn't be trying to figure out, like, how much does the gas tank hold?
For a practice.
For a practice. Like, on a street course, like, I know for the 500, sometimes they're going to be pushing for those fuel numbers because, well, Rossi showed us 2 years ago you can win on a fuel strategy. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
However many years ago.
Two.
Awesome. Math is not my forte. Let's see. Practice two. It was, of course, again, Dixon, Sato, Andretti, Rahal, and Rossi. And again, Rahal actually spun, kept the car, and then Will Power was in turn one. So practice one and two happened that first day. And what's real interesting was Honda was showing up.
Yeah.
Honda showed up.
Honda was not playing any games.
And I remember kind of like watching the end of practice two going, God, everybody on a Chevy team is like shitting their pants. And they're going
to... they should be.
They should be. If they're not, Oops, United. I know, the tail wings. It's nice. Sad. It's sad. Yeah. And I thought, well, Chevy teams are shitting themselves.
Yeah, they are.
There's going to be a lot of late nights for those teams, pouring everything, changing, because practice three, the next day, it was Sato, Newgarden, Power, Rossi, Piggott. So Chevy definitely stepped back up.
They sure did.
I will say Spencer did. He was always within, like, he was either number six or number seven-ish for the first day. So as far as Chevy, I think he was one of the highest placing Chevys that first day.
Well, that's good.
It's interesting.
It is. But, I mean, we love Ed Carpenter Racing.
I mean, they talked about it today for that final practice after King ran. Like, the garage for Carpenter Racing at a race is going to take care of shit.
Absolutely. Just an ant getting a little too friendly with your bag.
It happens.
I'm not having it. I'm not having it anymore. I've been dealing with ants.
Well, we are outside.
Since May. I don't care. We're on a patio. This is not your land. You can't live here.
All right, Qualls.
Can't build an anthill into the cement.
You watched Qualls, didn't you, yesterday?
I did watch Qualls.
Okay. It was kind of interesting for the first round one because they had the wets and then they had the dries.
Yes.
Yeah. So round one, group one, Dixon, Rossi, King, Connor.
Yep.
Joey New and Hinch advanced. And then in group two, it was Power, RHR, Pagano, Sato, Wickens, and Laced. They all advanced into round two.
They sure did. Sorry.
Yeah, this is like a jihad against ants just got happened.
Yeah.
It's a jihad, guys.
I will murder them all.
The infidel ants.
Yeah, so rounded out the round one, group one, with the top six with Hinchcliffe.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited to see Connor in fourth in that group. Hell yeah.
Oh, coming my out God. Strong. When he came out, I was like, yes!
So round two, our top 12.
I just list it all.
Yeah.
I always find that important to see where everybody lays
Dixon,
out.
Then RHR, who, again, trying real hard not to be forgettable.
Yep.
But I just, I'm not gonna fall into your trap anymore, RHR. I'm not doing it. Simon Pagenaud, number three. Love it.
Yeah.
Joey New, number four. Number five was Rossi. Six, Power. Seven, Sato. Eight was Jordan King. Nine, Hinchcliffe. 10, Wickens. 11, Connor Daly. And 12, Mateus Laced. Which, I'm not going to say I told you so, Larry Foyd.
But
I think we all know.
I'm drinking some rosé from a box.
That's better than yours.
Yeah, it's better than yours. It's better than the rosé I had yours. And you should feel bad.
But just as a point of, like, you know, just from the book 1001 Ways to Say F You, I feel like Connor was like, I don't care where I place as long as it's higher than Laced.
He placed higher than both Foyt drivers.
Well, Tony didn't even make it in
and
to round two.
I love those of us on the internet who saw that and said something about it.
Yeah.
Like, we are a family, and I love each and every one of you, and you can find me at Mid-Ohio, and I will hug you.
Yes, and God bless all of you for your snark and your sassiness about that. Because I don't know about you, but I'm so glad they're turning that team around this year.
Oh, yeah, so good at turning that team around. Ugh.
So, Sunday warm-up, I watched that today as well.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, I had it on.
Yep. Jordan King.
Well, we were texting about that.
We were. Went straight into the wall. Missed the tire barrier altogether.
And you know that I feel like my reaction was, How can you miss the tire barrier and hit the wall? Probably was the same reaction of Ed's.
I think that your text was a perfect assessment, which was, Ed is now openly drinking in the pit box.
He just had that ball of fuzzies, pulled it out, opened it and just chugged straight for the bottle. Like, he missed the tire barrier. I'm out.
It was a solid six count before he even put the bottle down.
How do you miss? I don't.
A third of a bottle of fuzzies, and he's like, okay, now I'm ready to talk to Jordan.
Okay, we will figure this out.
And Jordan came over. I'm really sorry. Is Ed there? Ed's not ready to speak with you yet.
That's exactly how that went down. He's not ready to speak with you. Ed's there.
Ed knows he needs to cool down a little before he says something he regrets.
Really debating his decision to stop driving road courses. Like, this is the season where he's making that, like, making it real hard for me there, Jordan. Making it real hard.
He's like, I mean, I might not have been great, but damn it, Jordan, it's my car.
You have one job.
Which is don't fuck it up
during road courses.
Yeah, don't fuck up my car on road courses. Daddy's not happy.
Daddy was not happy.
Daddy was not pleased.
I laugh for a good solid 3 minutes. Just thinking of the reactions that happened in the Carpenter Racing pit box.
Oh, you know it was.
All those crew members just turned to look at him. And he just shook his head sadly. Like, God damn it.
He's not mad. He's just disappointed.
I'm never allowed to meet that man because I'll start giggling inappropriately.
Seriously. I want to have a shirt made that says, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed
with that face of his.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get him to sign it. I bet he'd laugh at it.
I think if we did it, because we're all from Indiana, he'd be like, fine.
I think that he would get a chuckle out of it. I think he'd be like, that's pretty funny. He'd be like, I think that that's the response. That's pretty funny.
That's funny. It's the dad response.
It is.
Oh, straight to hell.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
But it is funny.
It's clever.
It's clever. All right.
Oh. And then Tony Kanaan spun at the pit entrance last few seconds of practice.
I just don't know anymore with this team. I mean, he did fine.
He did very well in the race, and it was the best finish they've had all year.
Yeah.
But for TK, that's a really shitty thing. He's done worse this season
than any.
For a while.
For a while. I don't want to say than any, because somebody's going to be like, meh.
But 12 years ago, he blah, 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 blah.
Get bent.
You know what? I'm looking at IndyCar current and future, okay?
Right. We are a forward-facing podcast.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm only going back a few years.
I'm going to go back 2, maybe 3.
Maybe 3. But yeah, we are a forward-facing podcast.
We're a forward-facing podcast. I ain't got time.
Yeah. We're a forward-facing IndyCar series, too.
Yeah. The future starts now. Sorry.
But they don't pay me. Spun at the pit entrance, which that was just real precarious. And I mean, I don't know if you saw the guys on the sidelines, but there were the flag guys and then the rest of the corner crew had like spread out down the fence doing like hand signals to make sure everybody knew that they had to cut that corner tight because he was just right in the middle.
He was just chilling. Yeah, that's a hard place to spin out.
And they all needed to come into pit, so they had to squirrel around him and then go back left.
You know, all of them are like, God damn it.
Fucking Foyt cars again.
Fucking Foyt cars. That's what every driver thinks. Fucking Foyt cars. We're glad you all are turning it around.
Literally. That's what we should have done. Made a GIF. Foyt Racing turning it around.
Literally. We will.
We will. All right. So your top five from warm-up today was Scott Dixon, Joey New, RHR, Mark Rowe Andretti, and Graham Rahal.
Yeah. Interesting.
Very interesting. So.
Oh, Marco.
Also, I want to discuss our fantasy picks in addition to our actual picks.
Sure.
And I do want to say, anybody who does the fantasy.indycar.com, if you don't do it, it's super fun.
Oh, it's
you
so
should
easy.
Definitely do it. It's easy. It's fun. And if you already do it, or if you're going to join, we've created our own Fast Cars, Fast Girls League. So because you can get on.
There's nothing we love more than doing things halfway through the season.
I mean,
it's on brand.
It is.
It's perfect for us, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
But anyway.
But anyway, I mean, we're still figuring this out, okay? We're still a rookie podcast here.
We are always learning ways to improve ourselves.
Yes.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a very nice way to say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So it was mentioned to us by some fans that would be super fun and that they'd be into it. And we were like, all right, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
So.
Just awesome on brand for us. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, sure. All right.
All right. Cool.
I got the stuff for that. So.
If not, I'll get it off of Amazon Prime.
Damn right.
Yeah.
So you can join our league as well when you get on to, and it's just Fast Cars, Fast Girls.
Because it's easy for us to remember that way.
It is.
Yeah.
We try to keep everything the same.
Yeah.
We want it to be easy.
Yeah.
Work smart, not hard.
Ooh, definitely.
That's, yeah. That's the official motto of this podcast.
Hell yeah.
So, our fantasy picks, our lock, straps, and sleepers, I'll say this. I'm very glad that I picked Ray Hall as a drop.
I don't want to talk about my drop right now.
I know. I feel like the reason that Pagano came in second is because he read it and he was like, what the fuck is this?
But we were so happy together. Remember when I interviewed you? Yeah, I know. But to be fair, he had not had a great couple of weeks beforehand. So I stand by my decision and I'm very happy he did well.
And you said that in the thing, that you would love to see him do well.
I want to see him do well. His past performance this year, I was like, it's shaky.
It's not been the best season.
He needed maybe another race. And he was like, I will show you. Vive la France. All right. Mubby.
You've been shown.
I've been shown. I will never say that again.
You've been shown.
I did. I mean, Hinch was my lock, so.
Hell yeah.
You know, I feel good about that.
Absolutely.
Who was your?
Joseph Newgarden is my lock. Me and the Firehawk.
I didn't even read. Who did the Firehawk have?
I
want everybody to know I write mine and then I never read anymore.
Well, he also picked Jordan King.
For his?
Just to round it out. Just to round out his team.
Oh, I always say what four I do.
I sometimes do and sometimes I forget.
That's okay.
But yeah, the Firehawk also had Newgarden as their lock.
I don't know why we're throwing shade at the Firehawk all of a sudden.
No, we're not. Well,
never met him. I don't know.
He's very nice. His drop was Zach Veach, and that didn't age well.
First of all, how are you going to drop Zach? Just because he caught on fire?
A couple of times at a couple of races?
Look. But did he die?
Now, his sleeper was Takuma Sato, so I would say overall, I spanked you both this week in lock, straps, and sleepers.
Yeah, I was feeling really good about Ed Jones for my sleeper until that one pit stop where he stalled. I think that's what screwed me.
And I think...
Because he finished 12th. Had he not had that bad pit stop...
Probably would have been top 10.
Top 10, easily.
Yeah, I think so. Connor was my sleeper. He finished 13th, so...
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, the lock, not so much. I went back and forth between Newgarden and Dixon.
Here's the deal. Dixon and Rossi are almost always somebody I know is going to do well, and Dixon, I just don't ever want to pick Dixon, because I'm like, it feels like it's cheating. I feel like I'm cheating when I pick Dixon.
It feels cheap, like...
Dixon is forever a lock.
It's like when you go up to roulette, instead of picking a number, you pick a color. Well, no shit, you're probably going to do... Like, come on now, risk something.
It's like the Duke NCAA. Do I like Duke? No. Will I always pick Duke as somebody who's going to do well in NCAA tournaments? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel cheap about it, but sometimes I want the points.
That's why I do multiple brackets. I have my bracket from the heart, then my bracket that'll probably actually do well.
Oh, my bracket from the heart is just Indiana winning everything.
Yes, every year.
Every year.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to do 3 or 4 brackets.
And then I always turn it in and they go, really? And I was like... But did you grow up in Bloomington?
Right? You don't get it then.
You don't understand.
But no, I always have a bracket that is Indiana going all the way.
Indiana bracket.
They take away your Hoosier status if you don't.
They really do. If you don't have them advancing past the round of 16, then they actually revoke your Indiana driver's license. Fun fact.
It's true. You go to renew and they're like, we saw your bracket.
They're like, oh, we're going to do a criminal background check again.
Right. I'm going to need you to retake that eye test.
Hey, you remember that written driver's test? Lego. I'm going to need you to parallel park. They make you parallel park.
Yep.
Fun fact.
You got to do it all over again.
All over again.
Oh, so some fantastic moments and quotes from the race.
I'm trying to make us have a little bit of a structure in our race reports.
I like it. You know I work well with an outline.
I know. You know there's not a lot in the outline.
No, but I like it.
I know. Just enough. Just the tip.
I need some guidance just for a minute.
just to see how
it feels.
Oh, God, please let my mom listen to this. Mom, you cannot watch the Facebook Live episode. I'm just gonna I'm gonna go ahead and put that out there.
My mom, I don't think, can figure out how to watch a Facebook Live episode, so I think I'm cool there.
Angela or Peyton, don't show Ma. Okay, just don't. Please don't show her.
Be a friend.
Come on.
Help a sister out.
Come on. Anyway.
Chick can watch.
Yeah, it's fine. Dad can watch. Dad'll be like, I agree with that answer.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, so some fantastic moments.
All right.
First lap.
Pass on pass on pass. On a street course.
On a street course where they talked about how it's super hard to pass.
So again, I will repeat what I said at Mid-Ohio because, well, somebody was out there, decided to wait till after Toronto. But if you feel that IndyCar races are boring, again, we will be at Mid-Ohio. Find me. Say it to my face. That was an amazing, exciting race from lap one until the end.
Absolutely.
All the way.
Even the yellows were exciting.
Oh my God.
Even the yellows were exciting. So pass on, pass on, pass. And somebody tweeted, which we retweeted, and it was a picture of the start, and it was craziness.
It was at least four wide.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, NASCAR, we go three wide on the start. IndyCar, hold my beer.
Because I believe they were four wide, and then like...
It was like four wide, three wide, four wide, three wide, four wide. I mean...
And like people were moving around in the different fours to three wides. It felt like a game of Tetris almost, the way it looked like. Like you're trying to... Shunt people in.
Or like, you know, at Christmas time, how they've got like the ice skaters with the magnets underneath and they just randomly move. That's what it looked like to me. Like they were all just sliding on ice in and out of each other. Like there were magnets underneath the street. Just because I'm like, how is this happening and nobody's getting hit?
Right. Because I think that first lap, everybody was like, oh no, this is not going to end well.
We're going to start this with a caution.
All right. Well, we're going to go yellow.
But no.
We did not go yellow.
We did not. That was awesome.
Yeah. Marco. But then, like, five laps, he was up five spots.
Hell yeah, he was.
Well, let's just talk about Marco for a minute.
Yes. I really want to see Marco, and the announcers mentioned this earlier, and...
We talked about it.
Yeah. He either does really well in quals, and then doesn't do that great in the race, or kind of shits the bed in quals, and then does great in the race. And they were like, you know, he needs to put it together, like, one whole weekend.
Like, a good solid...
And I want to see that. I want that for him.
I do, too. And he was... extremely close this year, but for fuel numbers.
Yeah, Brian Herta fucked him on that.
Somebody could not do math. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Somebody fucked the math up.
Yeah, because they kept telling him, push hard, do this. And then he had to pit.
Like, with lap
two to go.
Yeah.
And he would have been, because he was running in fifth.
Yeah, and then he did end up P10, but yeah, he was fifth.
Yeah.
Which was...
Actually, he was fourth because he was between Wickens and Hinch.
Yeah, that's right.
He was P4 and he had to pit.
So he was on a potential probability for a podium. Oof, too many P's.
Yeah, I mean, had he been able to catch up to Wickens and all that, he could have possibly had a podium. But they screwed up the fuel at the end.
Also, why does it look like when he's in that like salami car, he's got like the faux rookie stripes?
It's the Circle K colors. They're doing. I saw on a close-up, like, that was the brand behind it. Which is weird, because Circle K is red and white.
Well, the Alberto is, like, salami.
But it's, like, the Italian flag.
I don't know these things.
Yeah, it's green, red, white.
Okay, but it's a bright green.
No, but it's a Circle K. Circle K was the only sponsor on those lime green parts.
That's weird. It looks like a faux rookie, though.
It does. It makes him look like he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Because of that bright, like, neon glow-in-the-dark color. So you can see it from space.
Yeah, but... I don't know. We'll see. Mid-Ohio.
I just didn't go with the rest of the color scheme of the car. No, I was not a fan. I mean, bad. I like Circle K, don't get me wrong. 75-cent fountain drinks any size, okay? I'm about that life.
Okay.
But I utilized the shit out of that in college. I'm like, I might not have much, but I can find 80 cents in this car. it's really a shame. Because he had a great race up until that point.
It was a good race for him.
It really was.
I think we talked about Ed Jones already. I'm going to hold that one until later. Somebody said the button is sticking again, and we're not quite sure who.
We weren't sure who it was, but somebody's pushed a pass.
Got stuck, and that's...
That's kind of a BFD.
That's a little danger.
Yeah, it is. Well, and, especially depending on where you're out on the track, because you don't want to have that extra burst at certain places. And you also don't want to just waste your...
Right, you're wasting it.
Yeah.
So we'll...
And especially if you have to counteract it with a brake. I mean, now you're just wasting gas.
Yeah, now you're just messing up.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, the Bourdais-Rossi-Willpower incident.
So oh.
Piece fell off of Bourdais, like the weird random weird wing. They did not go full course yellow immediately.
And it flew off and over the fence.
Which they were like... They kept saying, like, where's the debris? And they finally went to the replay, and you could see it flip over the fence. And I was like, that's polite.
I mean, just like a Frenchman.
Just like, Fine, it will go over the fence.
I'm not keeping you, but I will not mess up anybody else's race.
I will not fuck up somebody else's race over the fence.
Merci.
Beaucoup.
au revoir.
Au revoir. So let's see. Oh, the full course yellow with Rossi.
Oh.
Something. It was a weird contact between, I believe, he and Will Power. We never actually saw the replay of that contact.
No, but it was, he nicked the toe of Will Power. Will Power nicked him, and it basically knocked his nose piece almost completely off.
Yeah, it was, like, hanging on by a thread.
Probably just the electronics for the nose cone cam.
Oh, yeah.
Was probably the only thing holding it on. And so it was literally dragging on the ground in front of his car.
Yeah.
And he's pushing it, and it's a full course yellow, and we hear his team come over and say, you know, this and this and this, this and this and this. It's a yellow. The pits still aren't open. And it was one of those where it's like, you know, like, confirm that you heard this and understood it, because they don't want him to come into the pit and get a penalty.
Right, like, pits are closed, pits are closed.
And so Rossi, man, a few words, you know, rather than saying affirmative or, you know, 10-4, roger that, whatever, they list all these things and blah, 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 and he's driving this car with the front piece just in front of him, and he knows if he runs over it, his race is done.
Yeah.
And so they're like, confirm that you understood that. And he just sends back, fuck me.
Oh, God.
He got the message.
Yep.
And in true Racy form, or Rossi form, just fuck me.
And that was
and
it.
That was it.
That was it. I'm done after that moment.
Yeah, that I almost fell out of my chair.
Also, shame on NBC. They showed, so the pits open. So
shame on NBC.
RHR, who also had damage, Rossi, who had damage, and Will, who had damage, all dove into the pits, obviously to fix the cars. And NBC was like, we're going to sit here and watch them on Will Power's car, just kind of sit on the ground and have their hands stuck in it. Meanwhile, the Napa Know How crew was like, we got this-ish, fixed whatever was wrong, his car
replaced
is out.
Replaced the nose cone. And sent him out, and boom, he was back on the track.
I mean, he was on the track.
Yeah.
RHR on the track, and we're still sitting there watching Will's Power's team, like, I don't know, with their thumb up their asses?
I don't know. All I thought was, I'm so glad we went to Will Power first so we didn't miss any of this pit stop that's apparently going to take 4 minutes.
Yeah, I'm okay. They broke to commercial and had the side-by-side still...
Of Will Power.
Of Will Power, and them just like, I don't know, guys, what do you think we should do? I don't know, what do you think we should do?
Does anybody have any jumper cables?
Right. Who got duct tape? And who has WD-40?
Right. Yeah. I want to... I just want to know who's in charge of picking which shots they choose. And I want to say, have you watched a race not inside this booth?
That's a good question.
Have you ever once watched a race not inside this booth?
I feel because like the answer is no.
What you think is good TV is not always good TV.
But you had two crews in the... Rossi crew and the RHR crew, who were definitely shuttling around trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
Go to them. Will's crew is kind of like, the problem was, it's a fix where you can't see it.
Yeah.
So switch to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's that back rear toe, like, that's a weird fix. You have to reach into it. You really can't, like...
It's not
good for TV.
It's not good TV.
It's not good TV.
But I'll tell you what, Napa Know How, ripping the front off that and putting it back on, first off, if you'd have done that, you'd have had little clips of that that would have gotten tweeted and retweeted by Napa like crazy, which would have only upped people watching shit for you. It's better for NBC. It's better for IndyCar. Mm-hmm. It's better for Napa. It's better for Andretti. I mean.
Do you, but you made a bad call. It is what it is. Oh, and then they restarted.
And Napa Racing agrees because I tweeted about it and they retweeted it.
And they were okay with it. So then there was the restart.
And... Newgarden.
Oh, boy. The track marbled up. And I want to stop here and say what marbles are, because sometimes NBC does it, sometimes NBC doesn't. And I know that some people who listen to us don't know what it is. But marbles are literally the pieces of rubber that are peeling off of their tires.
Yes. It's just a fancy word for either rubber, gravel, or...
Shit.
Shit from
little
the track.
Little pieces of shit.
Little pieces of debris from either cars or the track.
And they call it...
That is acceptable.
It's okay. It's small enough. That's why it's called marbles. But obviously, you pick enough up on your tires, or you get into it, and you're gonna
lose
grip.
It's like driving on gravel.
Yeah.
If you've ever driven on gravel. Or driven on gravel in the rain, actually, is a better way to explain it.
I think so.
And I had... I'm gonna take this from a nurse that I know who described driving on gravel in the rain is like driving in diarrhea.
Yeah.
Like it's just slick and it's everywhere and you're out of luck. Like,
yeah. You're shit out of luck.
I think she might have even said that.
As some might say.
Yeah, if you will.
Oh, I won't.
It's not easy to drive on the marbles because they don't have grooves in their tires.
Right, and so this track marbled up very quickly.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. So apparently Joey knew from his post-race interview indicated that he kind of got into the marbles and lost control. Kind of went a little wiggly.
And
went all the way over.
Straight into the wall.
I don't know. He might have kind of brushed it. I don't think it was a full-on.
It wasn't. He hit it and then bounced off. Kissed it. But
he
it was
kissed it.
More of a love tap.
Yeah. Because it wasn't like...
It wasn't a...
It didn't fuck anything up, but...
Well, it fucked it up enough. I mean, he lost...
Like, he lost spots. I'm saying, like, his car wasn't,
yeah.
like,
I mean,
broken.
They had to squiggle with it a little bit, but...
Yeah. Not, like, as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, definitely not as bad as it could have been. But, yeah, so everybody just passed Newgarden. He lost the lead and never got it back.
Oh, my God. Like, all of a sudden...
Broke my heart for my fantasy. So, sorry for that lock on Newgarden.
We just all yelled because 18 people passed him all of a sudden.
I mean, yeah.
Just 18 people.
And I'm surprised there wasn't a wreck with people passing him.
I know,
because as soon as it was like, oh, Newgarden's going slow, then it was just anarchy. All of a sudden, it was the Lord of the Flies.
Well, and then we had that huge crash.
We did, where... Ray Hall came over the radio and was like, I don't know who hit me, but somebody drilled me from behind. Which
it was
they did. It was Chilton.
Chilton, Graham, RHR, and Power all kind of got stopped. And they were all over. I was right after turn one, kind of going into turn two, because they made it past the Princess Gate was the big thing. And then they hit that turn, and it was just cars.
Just, yeah.
Just cars.
Cars everywhere. I will say kudos to Will Power, who did hit the tire barrier, because he got stuck up in that mess. And realized there was no getting out. And he was like, my choices are to hit another vehicle or to hit a tire barrier. And he was like, turn the tires and then hands off the wheel.
And just, I'm out.
I was like, ain't mad at you. I mean, that's what experience gets you. Because it's a lot
driver. Cheaper yeah.
to float into tires than it is to hit somebody else's car.
He hit the cheapest option.
He did. He did indeed. Hit something cheap.
And then I didn't catch this until the replay after you guys hollered about it. Rossi went, like, the back end of his car went over Ray Hall's car. Or
yeah.
RHR's car. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he came around and...
Just went, whoop!
And nicked something. And then, yeah, then his back end was airborne.
Which was amazing.
Came back down, and he went on about his business.
God, that's got to be really uncomfortable.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. My spine just hurts.
Right?
My spine hurts.
Yeah, I hope that he's seeing a massage therapist or a chiropractor or something on a regular basis. I hope they all are, honestly.
God, yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you're in Speedway, I've got a great massage therapist.
Truth.
Just put it out there. But yeah, Rossi, that, I mean, in pure Rossi fashion was like, nope.
False.
Right? It's like when you see somebody actually, like, pop the cue ball in pool, you know, and they do it on purpose, like, go over a ball, you're like, that's badass.
That's badass.
Rossi, he was like, I'm powering through, just like I passed the pace car in Detroit.
Like, I'm not stopping.
Your crashes do not scare me.
Your crushes mean nothing to me. I will keep going. He had positions to make up at that point.
He did. And he got a second nose cone replaced.
God, they're running out of nose cones.
Yeah,
right?
All of a sudden they had nose cones lined up, and not all of them were even Rossi's. They were from other Andretti cars.
Because both Andretti and Ray Hall had nose cone replacements.
Yeah.
Like a few of them, and they're like, Andretti Autosport is running out of like nose cones for their drivers. And secretly, we both wanted...
Oh, I wanted to see, like, Veach's nose cone on the front of Rossi's car.
I do, too. I mean, either Veach's or Marco's. Actually, or Ryan's, because of the totally different paint scheme.
Yeah,
because
none of them even go. Like, you could put Veach's on RHRs and
yeah,
vice versa, and it wouldn't
two,
be that
like,
bad. But, yeah. Any of those with Rossi's car would just contrast so much that it would be hysterical, and I would love that.
There was a moment where, like...
I want that.
I really want this
I want
to
this
happen.
To happen.
I don't want you to lose positions... But how can we make this happen, Captain?
Yeah, I want to see this happen.
I do too. And that's where the fucking Sato quote came from.
Yes, it is.
I think, was that RHR or Graham who said that?
It was RHR. I don't believe it was Graham.
I mean, Graham gets kind of feisty on the radio.
He does, but it's his teammate.
Yeah, that's true. Probably didn't say it then.
I mean, I guarantee he has said those words, but I don't believe he says them
probably
over the radio
not out loud.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Not this year.
Not this year.
We definitely heard him say that last year.
Oh, God, yes.
But yeah, RHR. Fucking Sato. God. Which is hilarious, because it wasn't actually Sato who was mad at it, it was Graham.
Yeah, it's just a lot of emotion.
But actually it was, well, it was Chilton's fault, because he was going slow.
Yeah, and we think it's because, and he kind of talked about it, he saw New hit the wall, and he was like, fuck, I better slow down, they're about to...
They're going
to
call a yellow.
They're going to call a yellow, they did not. And so he kind of got all squirrely, which is why he got that weird penalty.
For not heeding pit officials.
Failure to follow IndyCar directions.
Yeah.
I don't... Actually, it was lap 30, which I believe was before the Newgarden incident.
Hmm.
They were under yellow at that point.
Yeah, they were.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
Maybe it was a reorder issue? Mm. That could be my only thought. On a lap 30, I bet that was a reorder.
Maybe.
Who knows? It's a weird... Yeah, if he had to yield the position, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very interesting, though.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, Andretti and Sato tangled.
They did. And?
Marco showed some chutzpah.
He did.
I was proud of it.
Marco was not having any of Sato's sass.
He was like, not today, Sato.
He's like, I'm in no mood for you.
I'm about to podium this. I'm going to need you to back off. I think they were racing, so at that point, Sato was third, Andretti was... fourth. I think that's how it was with pit cycling, and so Andretti's like, he's racing for a podium.
Yeah, and he was not having any part of it.
And he got past Sato. You could argue he kind of left the door open. It was a crack.
Sure.
And Sato tried to take it, and Andretti said, typical Sato. He did not say it in that tone, though.
He did not.
No.
He's not that nice about it, but yeah, I mean... Sato's a wild card. That's the thing. He is. He's either going to do really well or he's going to crash out and take people with him. He's going to make a ridiculous mistake. And I really want to like him more than I do, but I just can't.
I can't because I don't think... He's that wild card, unpredictable driver, and sometimes he will make moves that he shouldn't be making.
Agreed.
And then when he complains about other drivers making moves, I'm going to be like, really?
Really?
But really?
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 You're going to be that guy right now?
Like the whole thing after Road America, he was like, Rossi, squeeze me out. And I was like, say it to my face.
Yeah.
You can find me. I'm here. Say it to my face.
Yeah. No, I... Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was weird. Mm. Let's see. Renee Bender.
Stalled. In the middle of the track.
Yeah.
I don't know
what happened. In a very precarious position.
He was sideways across the track.
Oh my gosh. I was like, please let everybody see the yellows. Please let everybody see the yellow.
Right. Which is why we need audible flagging.
Thank you. They have it in fucking quarter midgets.
Right. The kiddos in quarter midgets are like, yeah, they come over our radios. That's why we have to keep our headsets in because they will tell us if it's a yellow. So they have it there.
They have the technology in IndyCar. They just aren't utilizing
why
it.
Why not?
Because of stupid money.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's 100%.
Yeah, because if we have fewer crashes, then manufacturers make less money because they don't have to build as many parts.
I'm just saying.
And, you know, money always comes before safety.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Stupid. What was the last thing on there?
That was Marco.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, Marco. We already talked about the faux rookie stripe.
Yes.
There's a blue check. Oh.
So, now, I said this week, and so when it happened, I turned and I was like, did I not say this?
You did say it.
So, Pagenaud is an extremely skilled driver.
Oh, yeah.
I love Pagenaud. You love Pagenaud.
I love him.
Yes. Everybody knows this. We're big Pagenaud fans. And last year, Gateway, with the Pagenaud and Joseph Newgarden incident.
Oh, my God.
Pagenaud said, you know, had it been any other driver, we would have both been in the fence.
Yep.
And he's 100% correct. And there are a lot of drivers that pull stupid shit with Pagenaud because they know that they're not going to end up in the fence. They're not going to end up in the wall because Pagenaud is such a proficient driver.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so aware of everything that's going around that he's going to, you know, drive defensively to prevent an accident.
Yes.
And I said this week, I think it's time for Pagenaud to stop doing that. I think that if somebody tries something stupid, he should let them do their stupid thing and crash. Because it's only going to take about one or two of those and people are going to stop fucking with Pagenaud.
I agree.
And that's what happened today.
100%.
Wickens thought that he was going to try Joseph Newgarden move, and Pagenaud was like, you can kiss my ass or you can kiss that wall, but she ain't getting in front of me.
You can kiss my ass, you can kiss the wall, or you can do both.
So
he tried to pass him, and then Pagenaud was like, I don't think so, son.
Scooter.
Yeah. I don't think so, Scooter.
Son. Listen to your tiger.
Because Wiccans was on the outside, so Simon kept Wiccans on the outside and kept that inside line going into a turn. And once you have that inside line on a turn, game over.
Well, and really, inside line is being pretty generous. He kept a middle inside
line. He did
kind
of keep a middle inside.
Kind of.
He was
on
like,
purpose.
I'm going to keep you out.
Yeah, I'm going to keep you out, and I'm gonna make sure your balls are in your throat, because I'm gonna give you just enough room between me and the wall.
Because Wiccans was getting a little up his business. Like, they tire touched.
They did. They had a little hip check.
Well, and then they came through, and then Simon was like, and by the way, I'm gonna hip check you again.
Yeah, and also, all of this, Simon on cold tires.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was definitely a...
Simmer down.
Simmer down, son.
I need you to calm
Adults
down.
Adults are working here. So, and again, I mean, I'm not... Wiccans is a very good driver, and
yeah,
I love Wiccans.
Yeah.
But he's a rookie, and I think that he has gotten... I think that he's done well with his skill. I also think he's been lucky, and I think that he can be aggressive, and mm-hmm. I think that he thought he was going to join the club of people that are aggressive against Pagano, and Pagano was just in no mood today.
Pagano was like, I'm tired of the rookies. France won a World Cup. It was Bastille Day yesterday. Molly chose me as her drop, so I'm going to show.
Yeah.
That last one might not be part of it, but I'm going
to I like to think it is.
I'd like to, too.
Yeah.
It'll help me sleep tonight.
But yeah, I loved it. I was like, did I not say?
100%.
I did, so.
100%.
I'm glad to see that. I like to see Pagano get a little dirty, because he's such a nice guy.
He's such, and he can do it. He's one of those, he's in that elite club of drivers that can be like, all right, this is how we're going to do things.
Yeah.
Like, this is how it's done.
Well, and I think that, like, when Wiccans came, whatever, that Pagano was like, oh, you want to, this is how we're going to play? This is how we're going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Let me show you how it's done.
Yeah, because I think, like...
What you won't do is come in here and act like you invented this game.
Wiccans came over the radio and was like, is he serious? And I think both you and I turned each other and we're like, yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's 100.
100.
Because yeah, Wiccans, like, with the first, like, when he got pushed to the outside, he was like, is he serious right now?
Yeah.
Are you serious right now? Because you keep trying to pass him.
Is this not a race?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and even the announcer said, Simon Pagenaud is serious as a heart attack.
Like, they're all trying to win this race. Nobody's just going to sit aside and go, oh, I'm sorry, did you want to pass? Okay.
Yeah, Simon Pagenaud said, you're on hot tires? I don't give a fuck.
No. Vive la France.
Vive la France.
And then he took a sip of his macchiato.
He did. Well, and you know, there's a Latin phrase that I won't even attempt the Latin for, but it's fortune favors the bold.
Yeah.
So, well done, Pagenaud.
Well done. It was... very good to watch.
It was very exciting to watch.
Very exciting to watch. I will.
And again, even though he did give some business back, he gave the business to Wiccans, nobody crashed.
Nobody crashed. But did anybody crash?
Right? So, and that also, I think, is a testament. Because I think Wiccans is another one of those drivers that people can get squirrely with. And, you know, I think we're at a point in the season where he's not going to crash.
I would agree.
You know, he's... And I think in DTM he was like that.
I think that's where it kind of pulls from that, like, all right... reactive sort of deal that a newer rookie because he's not a newer rookie, he's an older rookie, would be like overreactive, like oh god,
and would have totally crashed,
totally overcorrected for it.
And so I think that Pagano 100% is, I think that he's completely tuned into the skill level of the drivers around him.
I would agree.
And that the space he left, he knew was enough that Wiccans would get the point,
yeah,
but would not crash.
Yeah, it's one of those, I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Yeah. Like, oh, you think you're going to do this to me and we're not going to crash because I'm going to, you know, move out of the way and I'm going to know how to do this. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around and do the same thing to you.
I'm going to show you what to do, Sparky.
Fight me.
Yeah.
So.
Fuck you, fight me.
Fuck you, fight me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that interchange.
It was really great to watch.
It was.
It was really great to watch, so.
Then Max Chilton got out for contact.
Yes. It was the whole... It was the whole big wreck.
It was the whole bag. And so he was...
He was out. Sato was out with a toe link.
Mm-hmm.
Piquet tried to make some moves.
He did.
He got out, but he definitely, like, he attempted moves, and he needed to.
Yes.
And I don't know how to say that without... But, like, they were good moves. They just didn't work out for him.
Yeah. I mean, some of them did. Some of them did.
Yeah.
But a lot of them didn't, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, overall, I mean... Aside from him not finishing and having contact at the end, I mean, he was charging a lot. He was running a good race, and he was attempting a lot of things. He wasn't timid. I think that Piquet has really come into his own this year, and I know that I mentioned last year coming into this season that I was concerned about him you know, replacing J.R. Hildebrand and being the full-time driver, because he'd only had the 1 year on road courses, and I just wasn't sure how that was going to work out. He's not a rookie, but he kind of is.
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird thing.
Yeah, and I think he's really, as the season has progressed, he's really come into his own.
I'm very proud of the progression that he has made.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed Carpenter Racing, I mean, they...
They know what to do with new drivers.
They do, and they've mentioned they don't want to be a farm team, and I agree. I don't want to see them be a farm team for bigger teams. But I think that that is just, it's a testament to the coaching and the hands-on feel that you get with a smaller team like that.
Oh, so, definitely.
Yeah. So kudos Ed Carpenter Racing.
Yeah.
It shows. You do hard work, and it shows.
It was good. It was good to watch. All right. That's all the notes we made.
That is. So our race results. First was Scott Dixon.
Abby.
Almost picked him in fantasy. Damn.
Again, it just feels cheap.
I know. It just, yeah, it's like, yeah, everybody's going to pick him, but I should.
I know.
So, number two, Simon Pagenaud.
Aw.
Hell yeah. Number three, Robert Wickens.
So, we had a Canadian on the podium.
We sure did. Came in third. Number four, James Hinchcliffe, another Canadian.
It would have been, I mean, I'm happy that Scott and Simon were also on the podiums, but it would have been really cool to see. Like, two Canadians on the podium.
Oh, it would have been awesome. And to see a Canadian win. Like, yeah, I would have loved that.
Like, there was a moment where Wickens and Pagenaud, and it was either before or right after, they were going at it. And I was like, I mean, I enjoy Simon, but God, if Wickens got it, like...
Oh.
I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
Like, I was conflicted.
Oh, I hear you. So. I hear you. Well, and James, he has podiumed the last 2 years, so...
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that he was fourth and not third. I really wanted to see him on the podium as well.
Yeah, I know.
But so it goes.
Yeah, it's what happens.
So it goes. And then fifth, career best.
What the hell?
Yeah, Charlie Kimble.
I mean, huh?
Right?
Huh?
I know. I was like, where did that come from?
I don't know.
So, good job, Charlie.
Oh, good job, Charlie.
Yeah, and there were no incidents with him this week. There was nobody, like, yelling obscenities about Charlie.
That's why he finished fifth. There was no incidents with him.
I mean, yeah, he ran a good, clean race, which could not always be said about him. So, I really like Charlie Kimble as a person. I want to say that.
I enjoy him as a person. I think as a driver, he...
Not my favorite.
Not my favorite. Yeah, we'll just leave that at that right now.
So, number six, Tony Kanaan. Season best for Fort Racing.
Yeah.
So, about damn time.
Yeah.
And then seventh, Zach Veach.
Aw.
Peachy Veachy.
Little Zach.
Good for him. Eighth, your
Rossi.
Boy.
Ninth, your boy.
Yep.
Joey New. And then 10th, Marco.
So even though he was in fourth, had to pit, still rounded out the top 10.
Still got a top.
Which, honestly, you lose, what, about 23 seconds on a pit on this track, I think is what they said. And so to be able to, two laps to go, to pit, get back on, and still finish the top 10, that's impressive in and of itself.
That's good. Let's see, a couple, I mean, Connor was up higher, but he finished 13th after 11th, but.
Started 11th, finished 13th.
I think that's still a solid finish, depending, you know, all things considered, he hadn't been on a road course since.
Since last year.
Last year, this is the first road course of this new aero kit. You know,
which is very different than your
really,
8500 setup.
He jumped in the car Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
I guess Friday was the first day of practice.
Yeah.
So, not bad.
Not a bad finish. I mean, 13th out of 23. Not bad.
Not bad. Will was way down.
Yeah, Will was 18th, but he had all kinds of issues, and he was in the pits so long.
So long. I was surprised about Bourdais. Usually, Sebastian does very well on street courses.
He does, but, you know, I mean, he was involved in a couple of incidents and had, like, a spin-out that was just him.
Yeah.
He lost that, you know, piece of his car that flew over the fence. I think that NBC Sports Network did not show the pits, but I mean, does it show how many pit stops he had?
Five. So he had a couple of unexpected for mechanical.
Yeah, so he even had more pit stops than Will Power. So, you know, it's like when you look at that he had five, that... The only other person who had that many was Laced.
Well, Rossi had six.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Laced, Ari Char, and Bourdais had five.
So.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I think that probably explains it.
I'm sure that's part of it.
Well, in losing parts of your car, you're going to lose speed.
It was just he just does better, you know?
Yeah, he does. Better. He does typically do really well on street courses, so. Disappointing, I'm sure, for Dale Coyne.
Definitely.
Zachary Clamondemello finished 14th, though. The Canadian that everyone wants to forget about.
Oh, poor Zachary Clamondemello.
I know.
There was quite a few drinks for Zach today during the pre-race.
There were, because...
Well, there just were.
There were. If you played our drinking game, well, then you're probably passed out by now.
So, hopefully you sleep it off by tomorrow.
Right. Or hopefully you're released from the hospital with your alcohol poisoning by the time this drops on Wednesday.
But not our fault.
We recommended drinking, playing the game with beer.
You don't have to play the game.
Yeah. Nobody's making you.
No. We just provide it as a service.
Oh, so... The standings going in and coming out of Toronto are exactly the same.
They are exactly the same.
Dixon, which is wild, because...
New Garden, Rossi, RHR, Power. It's the exact same. Now, these are the unofficial results, so it might change between now and then, but as of Sunday at, like, 7:50, it's the same order. I mean, obviously, points have changed, but same order.
Yep.
So weird.
Very weird.
So weird.
It's funny. Well, because they all... I mean... Power finished way behind. New Garden, you know, was in the top 10, but didn't do that great. I mean, it's just there were all kinds of drivers that did not do well. And so for them to stay in exactly the same position is really kind of funny.
I know. It's weird.
It is.
It was one of those, when I was writing it out, I was like, oh, they're exactly the same. Cool. How did this happen?
Yeah, especially after the race today. You would think there would be a lot of movement.
Yeah, and even like the points between... Really not a huge difference, kind of looking at the gaps.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Very interesting.
I think the gap between one and two, obviously, is a big jump. But if you go two down, the gaps are similar.
Yeah, they're pretty close.
So
still a pretty tight points race.
Yeah, I mean, Scott's definitely kind of got a bounce in a way, but we've got quite a few races beforehand, so I'm not going to say it's his.
No, I mean, he's got a healthy lead, but...
It takes one bad race for him.
Yeah, and then he's back down.
Yeah. So we'll see.
We shall see.
Well, speaking of points.
What about points?
Our picks.
Well, so I got two.
You got two?
I did get two. My first out was RHR. He was not the first out.
I believe your quote was, if RHR does well this week, I will punch him in the throat. I mean, just, yeah, I wrote that down. Just when he was four, then you're like, if he does well, I will punch him in the throat.
That's not a statement on Ryan Hunter Ray as a person. It's just that I'm not picking him for fantasy anymore.
No.
And if he would have done well and screwed up my fantasy again, I was feeling pretty feisty about it. But
yeah, no, not about him as a person, no. Just fantasy. He
really is fair.
Yeah, like nice no person. Problems with him as a person.
Oh, but yeah, my fantasy league shit gets crazy.
It does.
So I had New Garden for first. That didn't pan out.
No.
It did for a little bit, but
not long.
Top five, Hench, yep. And he came in fourth. Top 10, Wickens, he came in third. And, yep, did not get that RHR, that first out point.
I got the Hench point, and that's it.
Sad day.
I mean, I got one.
Well, true.
There's been times where we've gotten zeros.
In fact, did we get zero for the Indy 500? We got like half a point for the Indy 500.
The Indy 500 was not a good race.
Which is shameful.
Surprising.
We should get all of the points.
We should get all of the points.
It's our home track.
I know, but the problem is that race is so squirrely.
It is. Well, I did get the first out point for that one.
You did get the elusive first out point.
And you know what? That to me is worth more than any of the rest of the points.
It's gold.
It is.
It's gold.
But yeah, that race is squirrely. It's so long. You just never know.
You don't. Like, you could come in thinking, but that track would go, that's adorable.
Well, what's funny is, you know, they used to have the entire month of May to practice for it. Now they just have, you know, the 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
You could have the whole year.
It means nothing.
The track
because race day, totally different story.
Whole new ball game.
Yeah.
You just show up and hope. I hope I win.
Yeah.
To quote Emma Dixon, tequila and prayer.
Tequila shots and prayer.
Oh, my God. I love that woman.
Oh, I do, too. So... we've got a week off. We got the live show coming up. And then we're going to be on the road.
Oh, snap. It's Mid-Ohio. It's our first road trip.
That's right. It's our first anniversary at Mid-Ohio.
Oh, boy.
Our first road trip for this podcast.
Last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
So anniversary of that. And I'm excited.
I love Mid-Ohio.
And we had such a great time. Even if this year's only half as much fun as last year, which I'm sure it'll be more fun.
I mean, I don't know how.
It'll still be awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. We had just a blast. The people we met... We've got the MRTI series, so you get lots of racing all day long, Saturday and Sunday. And it just, I mean, the people are super nice.
Oh, my gosh. It's just super a great friendly. Atmosphere.
It's a great atmosphere. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just everything you love about the Midwest.
Oh, totally. So that'll be fun.
It will be.
Oh, and we have a special bonus episode on Friday we're going to drop.
We do.
Yes. The Champ Web. The gentleman from Champ Web. Remember the interview?
Oh, that's right.
So it was about 45 minutes. Not long enough to tack on to another episode. So we're just going to drop a bonus. A little bonus.
So while you guys are lamenting a week in between,
we're making sure
that you've got plenty of IndyCar related things mm-hmm. to listen to. So yeah, the Twitter is at champcar or champweb.net.
All one word.
There we go. Yep. And he used to have a site and then stepped off for a few years, and now he's back on Twitter. And so you can hear about his story and then us just talking about fun racing stories.
Because that's what we do.
It's what we do.
And we're hopeful it will help, and the live episode will help on Sunday, and then we'll have Mid-Ohio, and then, well, we'll have a few weeks. So we'll see what happens then.
We will.
So let's white flag it. What do you got?
Well, I'm very excited for our live episode. I
think you're the only one.
I'm very excited, yeah.
I know.
Well, and I'm thoroughly enjoying the questions we've gotten, especially the ones that make me burst out laughing. So kudos to everybody that has made me belly laugh at your questions. Don't worry, they'll all be answered. And and I'm, of course, super giddy for Mid-Ohio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and we are working up some fun stuff with IndyCar Nation. So
yeah,
make sure to watch our Twitter and to watch IndyCar Nation's Twitter, which is at IndyCar Nation. If you're not a member, you should join. It's really great. You can do all kinds of fun opportunities. You can be on the winner's circle. You can get a picture on the winner's circle with the winner of the race at a race that you're attending. And sometimes they have fun places that you can sit during quals.
Yeah.
I know at Road America, there were people that won the experience of watching quals with Connor Daly. So there's all kinds of fun stuff that they do. And you just never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're wily.
They are. And they listen to the fans. So if you're like, we'd like to see more of this, they do it.
Yeah. They are very responsive. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's a good time. So what about you?
So I realized this earlier today. This was the last race that we watched like on the TV together, because we're at Mid-Ohio, we're at Pocono, we're at Gateway, we're at Portland, and then Sonoma, which is weird because you're not here, whatever. But yeah, this was kind of the last race we're going to watch together.
It is.
At the bar. I mean, we'll be at other races, but...
Yes. All the other races we watched together will be in person.
It was very exciting to me to be like, oh my... And then I had a moment where I was like, oh my God. A little bit of
panic because we have a real busy August.
But... Yeah, like August. But it's okay.
But yeah, good stuff.
It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Good stuff. I am too. So, well, it's gonna be a good week. Hope you all enjoy the week and make sure to tune in on Sunday. We'll be tweeting and Facebooking about the exact time.
Yeah, because we don't know yet.
We haven't decided yet.
Meh.
It won't be early, I guarantee that.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe go to church beforehand so you don't feel quite as bad after you listen to it.
Yeah. 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 We will not be holding a devotional like IndyCar Ministry, though.
No.
So don't look to us.
No, it will not be us. But I'm just saying, things, based on some of the questions we've gotten, things are going to get a little wild.
Yeah.
You might want to go to church and just kind of cleanse yourself first.
Get a little, like, dousing.
Yeah.
Start with a fresh slate.
Definitely not safe for work. Definitely not safe for your kids.
No.
We'll put that out there right now.
Yeah.
If you're watching it at home and you have children at home, put headphones in.
Yeah, you're going to... Not even our responses, which are responsible, but like just the questions, like maybe.
Yeah, I would recommend not so much for the kiddos.
Not so much for the kiddos. It's fine.
So, all right, I think that's it. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening.
I'm gonna talk shit about you.
God Almighty! It's been that kind of an afternoon.